we saw when we studied elsewhere, that God knows how much persecution is going to allow. 10 days. There were 10 major persecutions, a lot of minor persecution all along. 10 major persecutions. Incidentally, the outstanding thing about, one outstanding thing about the last of these persecutions under Diocletian was that that emperor was smart enough to realize that the importance of the Word of God, his special effort was to destroy every copy he could get of the scriptures. And that's probably one reason why we don't find manuscripts of the scripture older than around 50 years or so after Diocletian's time. We don't have manuscripts. We have scraps, pieces of the 3rd century, but not old manuscripts. But here, Satan goes wrong. And in one day, catastrophe hits. It's sad to say the insurance companies have picked up on this, and every time there's a major catastrophe, they call it an act of God. And Satan then goes about. And yet God limited Satan. But in one day, he loses all his property, except one servant from each division of his goods, and he loses all 10 of his children. According to an enemy, it's the house where they're suffering. Just when they're having a party, they all get killed. What is the result? Verse 20, Job rose up, grabbed his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down on the ground. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. Jehovah gave, and Jehovah hath taken away. Blessed be the name of Jehovah. In all this Job sinned not, nor ascribed anything unsaintly. And then comes another day when the sons of God come to present themselves before Jehovah. Satan also came among them and presents himself before Jehovah. 2 Corinthians 11 tells us that Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. And it's no wonder that his servants try to do the same thing. And so many false religions are started by people who talk very piously, but it's false. And God again takes the initiative. Jehovah said to Satan, from whence comest thou? And he gives the same answer. And then he goes on, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and abstaineth from evil, and still he remaineth firm in his integrity. Though thou openest me against him, to swallow him up with false. There was no real reason for Job to get hit this way. And yet God would use this for Job's good and for the benefit of all the people who have read this book and taken the judgment. Still more than us. Satan is a keen observer of human beings, and he answers skin for skin. Yea, all that man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thy hand now and touch his bow and his flesh, and see if he will not curse thee to thy face. You touch him, and he doesn't care that much about sheep, cattle, goods, even about children. But if you touch him, if you hurt him, then he's going to squeal. Then he's going to curse you. And the Lord will say to you, as he says, don't spare his life. Do what you want to, except kill. God is in control. And when it comes to what believers suffer today, friends come to him, they've got the wrong idea. At first they're so shocked they can't say anything for a week. And you picture seeing somebody in such bad condition that you can't say anything to them for a whole week. They meant to comfort him. But you know, their minds were going around where he was. And Job doesn't blame God. But in the third chapter, we find that he curses his day. Curses the day that he was born. Wishing he had never been born. Job makes a mistake about being born. He's not blaming God, he's cursing his day. He's not happy in the situation, and you can't blame him for not being happy. He was miserable from head to toe. You know, there's a beautiful contrast in what we've heard about the Lord Jesus. We never hear the Lord Jesus complain. Even so, Father, for so it seems good in my sight. Job curses his day. And then his friends are at liberty, first very gently, and then when Job responds, you know, they're accusing him of having been a hypocrite. You seem so good, Job, yes, but there must be something wrong or God wouldn't do this to you. You know, we jump to those kind of conclusions very often. Something happens to someone, we try to figure out why did it happen. The disciples in John 9, Lord, who sent this man or his parents that he was born blind? You know, this is human reasoning, and we shouldn't do that. If the Lord allows something to happen to me, it's lawful for me to ask myself, Lord, what do you have to say to me? Why? But for you to say, well, that's because, you know, we jump to unrighteous conclusions. Things get so bad that finally the friends have nothing more to say. And Job sits there, but he's got nothing more to say. So they've talked themselves out. The end of chapter 31,